Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Happy Mother's Day. We're so glad that you chose to spend your Mother's Day here. It looks a little different today. I'm not preaching. I am going to invite some mamas to the platform. I want you guys to just go around and tell your name, how many children you have, and what your favorite thing about being a mom is. I did. Surprise!
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Pastor Mindy.
Thank you, Amy.
My name is Amy. I am Pastor Sam's wife, and we have four children. Most of you know. We have Bethel, who's 5, Judah, who's 3, and then Abigail and Asher, who are 6 months old. Oh, my favorite thing about motherhood.
What's your favorite thing?
My favorite thing is staying home with them.
Love that.
Which was an answered prayer and a testimony as well.
Amen. Amen.
Hi, I'm Renee Jones. I've got 3 children, Thumper Hog, Lori Hog, and Jenny Hog. I won't tell their ages. They're getting up there. No, Thumper's 48, Lori's 45, and Jenny's 42. Right? Did I get it right? Okay, good. And right now, I think the favorite thing about being a mom is getting to walk with the Lord with my children.
Mm.
Wow, it's just been a blessing.
Oh. Good morning. My name is Jenny. I have 2 boys. Cody, who is the age of, he just turned 23 last week, actually. And then my youngest is Theory, and he is 14. I love being a mom, and I think my favorite thing about motherhood right now is the continual growth. Not only their continual growth, but continual growth with them and being a mom.
So good.
Hi. My name is Ayanna, and I am a mother of 3, Taj, 25, Amari, 21, and Elijah is 17, going to be 18. And I think the best part so far of being a mom is watching them grow up and become productive members of society.
Hello, my name is Joni. I'm the mother of 3 girls. Don't ask me their ages because I'm sure to get it wrong. Let's just say they're all in their 30s. sorry, I'm truthful. My favorite thing is now that they're older, we have such a great friendship. Not only am I their mother, but I can't speak for them, but I feel like I'm their best friend, their confidant. Mm-hmm. They know they can tell me things and I won't. Judge them or, you know, I'm just a sounding board. But that's my favorite thing now at this journey in my life.
I texted Joni last night and I said, you're not a regular mom. You're a cool mom. She took her girls for a first annual overnight trip for Mother's Day at the Omni. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And then I got videos of them doing each other's makeup. It was so cute. Thank you. Well, I'm Pastor Mindy. I am the mother of 4 boys. I'm just going to say they're all in their 20s, too, because my son, Kegan, never told his right age. He's a 24-year-old, always. And then I do have 3 grandchildren, and they are 4, almost 2, and she'll be 1 next month. I'm so excited to be here with you guys today. You know, I was going to share a scripture, and it didn't transfer to my iPad, so if you could bring me my phone, I want to do that. But before we go on, Renee, share a fond memory of your mom or a lesson she taught you about being a mom.
Well, I spent most of my life thinking that the only thing my mom taught me about being a mom was the kind of mom I didn't want to be. But that was a lie. You know, I love my mom, and my mom did a lot of really good things. And my favorite memory inspired me or helped me remember what my mom did. My favorite memory of my mom was we got invited to sing at her childhood church, and we sang the duet of In the Garden. And thinking back on that, I had two passions in my life, Jesus and music. And my mother supported me in those passions. She didn't go to church with me, but she supported me in my faith. She supported me in my music. And my mom was a worshiper. And I didn't realize how much of my faith was grown because my mom was a worshiper. So that's my fond memory of my mom, singing that song. And if for those young people that don't know what In the Garden is, go look at the words, because it also helped me to learn how to pray. So
it's beautiful. My favorite memory of my mom was the last Mother's Day that she was alive. And it was during the pandemic, so we weren't gathering for church. So we actually recorded Sunday service on Saturday night, and we walked into her house, and she didn't have a top on, so we made her one because we wanted to post her surprise. But just such a surprise that day, and it was beautiful that as I walked in, they were watching our Sunday service. And if you know anything about my background, I was raised Baptist, and Baptists don't believe that women should preach. And on the refrigerator before I walked in, there was a little post-it note that said, Mindy's preaching, 7 p.m. Saturday and 10:30 Sunday morning. And that just blessed my heart so much. And that let me know that our relationship had been restored. Right? Well, I want to share this scripture with you because this is the whole purpose that I'm not preaching today. I really debated time and time again for about 3 weeks. Do I preach or do I get some incredible mamas to join me on the platform? And Titus 2, I'm going to read verses 1 and 3 through 5. It says, as for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Similarly, R's and L's, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. And I just feel like this morning, as they begin to share and answer some of these questions, we're training up the next generation of mothers. We're challenging mothers that are here today. There's more. We never, ever, ever, ever arrive at being the best mom. Every day we can suit up and show up and go, well, learned a lesson there. We either quit or we learn, right? And so I want you guys to hear the wisdom of some of our moms here. All right. Next question is, what is one thing that you are glad that you have done with your kiddos? And I'm going to start with Renee, because as moms, we have to do hard things, right? Some days are ease, and some days are a challenge. So we'll start with you, Renee.
Wow, okay. I prayed about this question. And so I'm going to preface it with this. You're looking at the original women's liberator. I fought for women's rights. And so hear my heart when I say this. What I'm glad I did for my children, what I'm glad I did with my children, was I made the choice to be a stay-at-home mom until they started school. And that was hard because we didn't have any money. So we didn't, my kids, our kids laughed because we didn't have store-bought furniture until they were in elementary school. And we had the foam couches and stuff like that, which actually ended up being good because they couldn't get hurt on it. So, you know, but for, like I said, you're looking at the original women's liberator, and I've got two beautiful daughters who are single moms, and so it was a choice for us, and I understand that you don't always have a choice in that. But pray about it. You know, my girls made some very sacrificial things in their own lives to do that with their kids because, you know, if you look at the Bible, God knew what he was doing when he told us how to be a family. And I am, unfortunately, one of those people who fought to destroy the fabric of the family. And so this morning, God's like, it's time to roll it back. So quit being so hard on women who want to stay at home. They're not lazy. You know, God blessed me with a beautiful career and lots of money after the fact. So trust him. Make the best decision that you can for your families because you and your family, and I'll say your family, cannot possibly love that child. A stranger can't love that child and feed into that child like you and your family can. So I just want to encourage you, and God laid it on my heart. I started this ball rolling 50 years ago. It's time to roll it back.
Amy's going to answer that. But before she does, when I asked Renee to be on this panel, she was like, I don't even think I'm a good mom. And I was like, but you are. Look at your children. And so we all make mistakes, right? Any mom in here, do you just do it perfectly? Yeah. We make mistakes, but you're a prayer warrior, and you've seen the result in your family's life. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, I'll piggyback off of that, and my answer was related to that, and it's staying home. And I absolutely love that I'm up here with, you know, women of the faith, moms of the faith, because, you know, we can relate to each other at different ages and stages in our life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And staying at home is a sacrifice. It's yes. A sacrifice. Yes. And, you know, you mentioned a sacrifice financially, mm-hmm. which was the case when I first started staying home. I was working and praying for God to make a way for me to stay home. And sure enough, he did. It was a faith thing. I actually quit my job. My husband didn't even have a job. Wow. And there was no overlap in payment. And it got to the point where I even said, maybe I shouldn't quit my job. And Sam said, no, you're quitting. I knew God had released me from that job when I was pregnant with Judah. And so I followed through. I was obedient to the Lord. And we sacrificed a higher paying income at the time. But I knew it was what the Lord wanted. The Lord wanted that for our family. He wanted me to stay home and he wanted Sam to go to work. And so the Lord did that for us. And so it was a sacrifice financially at first. And I won't even get into the testimony of where we're at now. 5 years later, I'll just say debt-free.
Come on now.
Debt-free. And that's all glory to God. And I just think that making that first step and being obedient in that first step will lead to blessings. Over time, and you'll see the fruit of it. And so staying at home is a sacrifice, but like you said, nobody loves our children like we love our children. And even the decision to homeschool at first, that was a part of it. If you have the option to stay home, if you have the option to homeschool, if you feel called to that, I highly recommend that. And it's because we know that some of the school systems are wanting to train up our children, and we know that we're supposed to be training up our children in the Word of God, right, and not what they're bringing into the schools to plant the seeds of all the other things into our little children's brains. And so it's hard. You know, people say you don't work, but you're working harder 24/7, 365 days a week. You're on the clock. Sometimes I get off the clock for, like, you know, a little while, and I'm like,
3 minutes.
It's 5 minutes, you know, and I'm like, back on the clock, let's go. You know, you just got to, like, gear up for that second shift, and then it's third shift, and then you're back to first shift, and it's constant. It's constant, and but it's a sacrifice, but it's the biggest blessing, and it's hard, but you endure it, and it's just for a season. It's just for a season, and so when you can find the joy in the sacrifice, that's when the blessings come.
So good. Pass it to Jenny. And I'll tell you, when Pastor Sam and Amy moved here, I remember he had gone back to New York to close on their other house, and she was here with four babies and knew nobody. And it was a Saturday, and I said, why don't I just come out and spend the day with you? And we bonded. So much so that she can be real and raw with me. And there was a time, not too many weeks ago, and she was like, sometimes it's just a lot. Trying to keep the house and trying to cook and trying to be that stay-at-home mom. And I remember our conversation. And I said, just enjoy it. Give yourself some grace. And I've just seen a peace on you in the last few weeks since we've had that conversation. Thank you for sharing your story. Jenny, what about you? What's something that's been difficult for you?
Something that's been difficult for me?
Yeah.
Having my children alone, 10 out of 10, don't recommend. No, but I'm serious. They're such a blessing, and I say that jokingly. You know, I am so blessed, but when I say I'm a single mom, I'm a single mom for 22 years, and I wouldn't change it for the world. At the same time, it's definitely been a struggle because, you know, everything is on me. My bad decisions, you know, my choices. I have nobody there if I'm parenting in my anger or in my emotions to go, hey, go take a break and let me have this. You know, yes. I'll take care of this. Instead, my kids, unfortunately, have had to deal with my antics or my, you know, bad moods, whether it's, you know, parenting out of embarrassment or shame or hurt, anger, frustration. I've struggled a long time with feeling alone as a parent. And it actually wasn't until I truly started working and walking with the Lord that I realized I'm not alone.
That's like, right.
He's all I need. And I've really learned to just trust in Him and lean on Him instead of myself. I tried so many years parenting on my own, you know, parenting from my own will, from my own strength. And it wasn't until I started leaning on His strength that I feel like it truly benefited my children, and I see the fruits now. Yeah. Whereas back in the day, there were no fruits, right? Yeah. It was just a bunch of weeds. So doing it single was definitely difficult, but again, I don't regret it, and I wouldn't change a thing.
Jenny is one of the best single moms that I know. And I think you're even a better teen mom than you've ever been. You're just so intentional and relative to this generation. And she's also a youth leader. And I heard she preached the house down last Sunday night. So just thank you for being so intentional. I know how that impacts your kids. Theory, how great of a mom is your mom? Teen boy, there you go.
I'm real with them, and they'll tell you the truth. I ain't perfect.
So, Ayanna, what is something hard that you've had to walk through in your motherhood?
During the pandemic, I don't know if you guys were seeing, like, a lot of kids and teens were committing suicide. And anyone who knows Elijah knows that she is the most loving, caring. She's a friend to those who don't have friends. She doesn't do bullying. She's like, I've gotten calls from the school, like, Elijah's in the office because she was taking up for somebody else. She was stopping a fight, or she, you know, took on the fight. So she's that type, and she's just, her heart is big. But for some reason, she tried to take her life more than once. It got to where, and it was kind of a fight, like, okay, is she doing this for attention, or is it really something wrong? And so she was probably in and out of the psych ward at the hospital and at Lincoln Trail 4 or 5 times. They had her on, at one time, like 9 different medications, trying to combat what was going on. And so I prayed. I'm like, God, what is it? She's very confident. She's very bold. She loves how she looks. What's going on? And God said it's her heart, because she takes on everybody else's stuff. She was taking on her friend's issues. And if she saw me or her brothers or her dad going through anything, she would take on that. And she felt like hers weren't worth anything she was going on. It wasn't worth mentioning to anybody. So she was holding it all in. And so it was that self, that worth of, not the self-worth of, you know, my being, but being able to let go of my stuff. She felt like it she shouldn't. And so she came out of that. We prayed with her. We told her, you know, you've got to say something. Your stuff is worth listening to, too. She went to therapy. We were in prayer one night, in community prayer, and one of the parents, and I think it was Pastor Mindy, had us pray for one another, like team up and pray. And so I'm praying with whoever it is, and Elijah's praying with a father that has just told her about what's going on with his son. And when I tell you, I had to look up, because this girl was praying the heavens down. She knew exactly what to pray for in that child's mind. And it's like that song said, he turns what the enemy meant for evil for good. Yeah. This baby, I mean, she knows what to look for. She knows the signs. So when she sees it in someone else, she recognizes it, and she knows what to, even just to talk to them about and pray for it. So for me, not being able to fix it or change it for her, that was hard. It's hard to watch your baby struggle. But God is good.
I've got to tell you, I remember that season with Elijah, and she wasn't smiling. She looked down all the time, and she has been helping us with the mural, and she was out here getting everything ready for today, and she was full of joy and life. It is so beautiful to see just the change, and I love that you never gave up. You had people pray, and I want to share a story, if you're good with it, that you said while we were doing the mural. It's so important when you're a parent to take ownership. And one night, we were back there painting, and I was just doing what I always do, ask 20 questions. And I'm asking Elijah, I was like, do you have any extracurricular activities? Did you do anything? Because she's already graduated. And she graduated in December. And she'll walk in May, right, May? Mm-hmm. But, and she was like, no, I really didn't get to do other activities because my brothers were in football. And I mean, her boys played college football. I mean, very successful. And what I loved is you, Ianna, affirmed your daughter and said, yeah, that's something that I wished we would have paid more attention to. We were just so busy with those boys. And I was like, you are a good mama. And so I challenge all moms out there, honestly, have open and honest conversations with your kids and ask them, how do you think that I'm doing? And don't get offended if they tell you the truth. But when they tell you, you bring it to the Lord and you begin to work on yourself and own it. So thank you. Thank you for that story about her, but thank you for being so, taking such ownership. All right, is there anything you regret doing or being overly concerned about? Ianna, we'll start with you.
The boys and their football. I'm not taking care of me. I lost
that,
myself.
Mamas?
I literally lost myself in being wife, mom, sports mom, whatever anybody needed, that's what I was. So I looked one day and I'm like, I don't even know what color I like anymore. What food do I like? Because I poured so much into them. We were, even house chores, I didn't make them do them because we were at football practice till 8, 9 o'clock. They had homework. They need to eat. They need to go to bed. So I did all of it. Mm-hmm. And even now I'm like, take the trash out. Take the trash out. Did you just walk past the trash? Are we serious? Do we see it overflowing? Like, why am I having to tell you this? But I had to stop and think. I didn't make you do it when you were younger. Because I wanted you to get in bed. I wanted you to do your homework and get in the bed.
So good.
And it's like, when you look at it, do they really appreciate all those sacrifices? I mean, we'll have to talk about that one day. But it's like, you know, you give so much of yourself. So if I can say anything, it's at least take some moments at the end of the night. My pastor's wife up north, the one that took over my dad's church, she told me, shut your house down. Shut it down at 8 o'clock. Her house is shut down at 8. They know not to bother her. Don't come in her room. Nothing. Mm. She'll talk to y'all in the morning. But shut it down so you can take some moments for yourself, whether that's to read your word, pray, get a skill, make cookies, whatever you want to do for yourself. Mm-hmm. That way you don't lose yourself and you still have an identity and you still have something to fall back on, because they're going to get grown and they're going to leave and you'll just be sitting trying to figure out what's next, what to do next.
Yeah. Did anybody need to hear that this morning? Mamas? Couple of you? Amen. All right, Renee, you wanted to share something that you regretted or being overly concerned about.
Yeah. If you know my story, you know, my childhood was tough. And so my goal as a mom, I wanted to be the best mom ever, and I was going to protect my children at all costs. Mm. And boy, did I get it wrong. Because I didn't realize that my job as a mom was to teach my children how to maneuver their way through the storms of life. Instead, I thought being a good mom meant standing in front of the bus so they didn't get run over. Yeah. And that was wrong. And I ended up, you know, crippling my kids in some areas. In fact, they still, to this day, will say, Mom, you know, why didn't you teach us this or let us do this? Or even now, I try to be controlled, and they're like, Mom, we got this. We know how to do this. So I regret that I did not realize completely what my role was with my children. And, my job was to, they are a gift. My job was to unwrap the gift God gave me.
Wow.
And help them to find out who they were. Yeah. In God, and teach them how to maneuver their own way through the storms, not to protect them at every cost. So, you know, being a mama bear is not always a good thing.
Yeah, it's good.
Jesus, teach me how to weed eat. Can I tell this funny? This is so funny.
Please.
Jenny and I go to Home Depot, my favorite place to shop, and we buy matching weed eaters. So Jenny's got her first house. So Jenny calls, she's like, does your weed eater work? And I said, well, yeah, why? She goes, well, this stupid thing won't cut down one single weed. And I said, well, then take it back. She goes, I don't know. I think I'm doing something wrong. So I go over to her house, and I was like, okay, pull out that weeder. Let's see how it is. Well, Jenny has the weed eater like 3 feet from the ground, and she's just doing this. And I'm like, Jennifer, put the weed eater down to where the grass is and watch how good it works.
You don't know what you don't know.
All right, that's right. That's right.
Another example of, you know, overprotection. I didn't let them do stuff like that, so she was clueless.
Please.
I just want to thank both of you for that wisdom. And my children are very young, and these are things that I want to know and that I want to learn. And it's a great reminder. I was just telling Sam, like, we're just now seeing the fruit of responsibility in Bethel. Mm-hmm. And I take out the garbage. She's extremely helpful, you know, with the babies, of course, but with other things as well. She's extremely helpful. So I'll take out the garbage, and by the time I come back from taking out the garbage, her and Judah are trying to figure out how to put the garbage bag in the garbage bin.
That's great.
And it's like these little things that I'm noticing now, and it's becoming such a blessing.
Yeah.
We know that children are a gift from God, and it's sometimes hard to see when they're in that in-between 2-year-old, 3-year-old, you know, when it's really, really hard. You know, the 6-month-olds, they're a gift, they're a blessing. They're so sweet, and, you know, they cry, but they're just so sweet and innocent. You know, the 2-3-year-old Judah, it's like, whoa, come on, bud. Like, come on, let's get it together. And then Bethel, she's 5, and now we're just seeing the fruit of how she's really starting to incorporate herself into our family. And there's been times that when I do laundry and I bring it up, I just throw all of our clean clothes on our bed, because if they're on our bed, you have to fold them and put them away before you go to sleep.
Right.
And so that's my kind of routine. And there's been so many times where I walk past my bedroom, I don't even say anything, I don't even ask anything, and Bethel's folding the clothes. And it's just those little things that, like, when those clothes are folded, I just put them away, and it seems like such a heavy burden lifted. Yeah. And so I'm starting to see the fruit of our children. And so I love that, you know, you two, you look back and you're saying, maybe I should have done this, maybe I should have done that. Mm-hmm. So now when they're teenagers, they want to take out the garbage. Now I can say, and I don't have to feel bad. And I'm like, Bethel, put the bag in the garbage. Yeah. Bethel, help me fold the clothes. Yeah. And so I really appreciate that you both shared that.
Yeah. Do you have anything to share on that one?
Yeah. Remind me what the question is.
Yes, the question is there anything you regret doing or being overly concerned about?
Oh, what are you being overly concerned about? I regret parenting from an unhealed place.
Okay. Ooh, that's so good.
My traumas turned into their traumas, you know, definitely affected them. And I regret all of the years that I wasted worrying, watching that, and feeling unworthy. Like, I'll be the first to tell you, like, I'm the most unqualified mother to be up on this panel. However, God qualifies us, right?
That's right.
He doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And I very much resonate with that. But yeah, I think just stressing about how horrible I was doing and not forgiving myself, and I continued to parent from that unhealed place, from, you know, my childhood traumas, my young parent traumas, and again, it wasn't until I quit relying on myself and relied on the Lord that it got better.
Yeah.
I kind of want to piggyback on that And it kind of relates to the question of something that you went through in motherhood that's hard. And that's what I wanted to say, is that breaking generational curses was hard. Sam and I got saved together, sober together, 8 years ago. Actually, this is like the anniversary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Praise the Lord. It was like May 17th. So it's our 8-year anniversary of being saved and sober together. And so our first year of marriage was really, 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 really hard. We had to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling individually, but together. And we knew we wanted children, and we were trying to conceive for a year. And now looking back, like in the moment, we were like, why isn't it working? Why isn't it working? You know, people get married and get pregnant right away. We're like, why isn't this working? Looking back, it was actually a year and 3 months it took us to get pregnant. And I know now that the Lord was preparing me for the season of motherhood, and I had to work through every generational curse.
Yeah.
Every curse, and I still am, but it was that season of preparing my heart. He had to prune me, he had to refine me, and he had to get me ready spiritually. And being ready, it just means being willing, and I was willing to fight every battle that I had to for the curses in my family. And so I just want to speak to the moms out there that are not yet moms, and maybe you're trying to conceive, or maybe you are hoping to become a mother in the future. This is not a wasted season. God is preparing you in this season. And this season that you're walking in, this is motherhood. If you desire to be a mother and you're not yet a mother, this is motherhood, because you're preparing your heart. God loves your children more than you could love your children, and he knows of your children right now. And he loves you so much. And so he's working on your heart, and he's pruning your heart and refining you to get you to the point so that, like she said, you're healed. You're healed when your children come. I fought those fights so that Bethel doesn't have to, and Abigail doesn't have to.
Right.
And I fought those fights for them so that, and then they will fight fights for their children and their children. Mm-hmm. And we know that there's just favor upon children when we're obedient to the Lord and we give our lives to the Lord and when we love the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage the ones that aren't yet mothers but want to be mothers, don't give up and just stay close to the Lord right now. He's working on your heart so that you'll be ready for when your children come.
It's good. So good. The thing that I regret was not seeking first the kingdom and all of its righteousness for my entire motherhood. I was a hot and cold Christian. You know what I'm talking about? I'll get in and we're going to give it all. And then 5 months later, peace out. And then I'd get in and I'd get all in. And then my sons played travel ball. Peace out. And that inconsistency causes inconsistency in your whole life. And so I'm thankful that the Lord has taught me consistency. Next question. What have you learned about how to bring correction in a godly way? We're going to start with you since you already have the mic.
So this one is a hard one, because sometimes you know what to do, but you don't always do it the right way. And so I think when you're speaking about bringing correction in a godly way, it has to come from a very humble place. You have to be low. You have to know that you've been there too. And you've done the same things that they've done. You've said the same things that they've said. And I think that there has to be a humbleness, and there has to be a grace. So we know that Jesus, when he corrected the adulterous woman, he did it out of love, and he did it out of grace. And so he did not condemn her.
Right.
But he asked a question.
Yeah.
He asked a question, and it allowed her, as well as the others around her, to think for themselves and really probe the heart. Mm-hmm. And so I think when I think about, you know, especially correcting my own children, I always want to probe their heart, and I want them to think deeper mm-hmm. about what they're doing, because it's so easy to say you're doing this, and this wrong.
Yeah.
And it's another thing to say, well, how could you have done this differently? Or how could you have said this differently? So that they are being reflective of their own behaviors.
Yeah.
And they are the ones that are like, you know, maybe this didn't honor the Lord, or maybe this didn't please the Lord. And so we do have to correct. It's our job to train up our children in the way that they should go. But we just have to remember that we're sinners just as they're sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to come in very low and with full of grace. I always think of like environmentally as well. You know, are they hungry? Are they tired? And so I definitely always try to have like a lot of grace for them in mm-hmm. those times. Mm-hmm. But overall, we know that when we can question the heart and allow them to get to the bottom of their thoughts and then realign those with the Bible, then mm-hmm. then they'll be able to start making good decisions yeah. and have better thought processes and behaviors as well.
So good. Pass that over to Joni.
Hello.
Joni, what about you?
So for me personally, it's taught me to not just react. You know, my whole life, I just reacted, and words just came out. Because I reacted, you know, out of anger or out of frustration
wow, that's
or
so
just
good.
Tiredness or just, I don't want to have time to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I see things through a different lens. Like I see it through the eyes of Jesus, which I never thought I would ever see that. So I see things differently now. I start with grace. I feel like I do, mm-hmm. you know, especially with my kids and my grandkids now. Totally different with the grandkids. It's, you know, they do no wrong.
They're perfect.
But I do, you know, I have more patience now,
yeah.
you know, and I see things as it's not the worst. It's not going to kill you, you know, and just patient. Like, okay, why did you, you know, why are you saying these things or doing these things, you know,
mm-hmm.
talking it out? You know, and getting on their level, whether it's with my grown children or my grandchildren, and then trying to give advice mm-hmm. in a loving way, not mm-hmm. in an angry way, but still standing firm in my beliefs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I understand where you're coming from, but, you know, if it's wrong, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doesn't mean I don't love you. I love you, but, you know, it's wrong.
But. Love it. All right, I'm going to move on to the question of what role has the church played in you raising your kids? And we're going to do this quick because we're going a little long. So try to say it as quick as you can, but as effective as you can. And Joni, go ahead and start.
Okay. So for me, I'll talk very quickly, but for me, what was different with me is my family, we always did everything as a unit. We always did everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I joined this church, I joined it alone.
Right.
Which meant it was very hard for me because I've never done anything alone. You know, I've done everything with the girls and my husband. We do everything together. Well, I had to look back and leave. What meant the most to me at that time, you know, because I, like she said, I had to find my own way. I was at a season in my life. I was like, you know, I can no longer do what's best for everybody. I have to do what's best for me. And
love
at that,
that
time in my life, I knew I needed Jesus, you know, and the way I felt when I came to church, I had never felt that way before in any other church
mm-hmm.
because this is, you know, talking about generation, I'm the first of, who's ever gone outside of the Catholic Church in all of my family.
Wow.
And it was frightening and it was scary and it was different. And every Sunday I would get up,
dress up, show up. I never asked my husband or my kids. I never begged them. I knew I had to do it for me. And the strangest thing is, eventually, Billy started. He just got up one day, and I was like, where are you going? He said, well, I'd like to go to church with you if you don't care. And I was like, oh my, I would love for you to go to church with me.
Mm-hmm.
I was so happy. And then Carly followed. You know, I didn't ask her. She followed. Now she's really involved. Rainey followed, and now Hannah's coming when she can. And God, I was driving here because I do, you know, these panels make me so nervous. So, and
growth,
I
baby.
Had a whole thing to say, and then God laid it on my heart. He was like, this is not your journey. This was his journey, his doing.
Yeah.
His doing. It was random that I ended up here from an invite from Renita, and it was random that I would ever walk away from my family.
Mm.
I mean, that was, at the time, horrible for me to do. And now they're all just, we do everything together again, but we do it here.
I love that. I love that. Renee, you wanted to share something about this, what the roles played in your family.
Well, for me, I was kind of a hot and cold Christian myself. You know, I went to church as a young person by myself without my family for most of it. And so I raised my children at a young age. We went to church. And, you know, I wasn't the best parent at that. And we were kind of in and out. But for the most part, throughout their, I guess all the way up through elementary, my kids were in church and we were very much involved. And for me, I think that laid a foundation, you know, because God keeps his promises.
Yes.
We left the church, you know, there's been lots of trauma and events in our life that have just been hard to walk through. And I don't think my children would have found their way back to the Lord had they not had that foundation to start with. So, you know, today, and pray. Parents, moms, mamas, pray for your babies. There is so much power in prayer. You know, I didn't always do it right, but there wasn't a day that I did not pray for my children. And today, it's so beautiful that all three of my children are following Christ and here worshiping with them. It's so awesome. So that's what the church has done for my family.
So good. All right. So ladies, what is a generational curse that you've overcome because you didn't want to pass it down as a woman of God or as a mama to your kids? What is one thing that you were like, nope, this stops with me?
Hey, I'll start that one.
The inner healing and deliverance leader.
Yeah, well, as leader of the inner healing, I wish I could sit here and tell you guys I have conquered all the generational curses. That would be a lie. My reality is my poor children, between my family and their father's family, they were plagued with generational curses. We have everything, you know, addiction of all kinds, alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex, perversion. And in my family, it was, you know, our attitude, anger, you know, it was a badge of honor to be a hothead. You know, these are not Christ qualities. And so, but God.
Yeah.
But God. And he has walked my children through healing. He's walked me through healing. And I just want to say, it doesn't stop. It's a process, you know. And
right.
So we are starting to heal from our generational curses, our traumas.
Mm-hmm.
But it's God. He's the one who's done this. And so, you know, if you are struggling with some of the stuff in your family or from the stuff of your, you know, your childhood, you know, go through inner healing.
Mm-hmm.
Go find a mentor because God works wonders. Like how I started, my mom, I thought, could do nothing right. That's wrong. That's a lie. The enemy used that as a lie. And so I'm now healed, and I got healed about my mom 3 months before she died. So God gave
Praise
me
the
opportunity to tell her, Mom, I love you, and I thank you for what you did do, and I'm sorry that I didn't
appreciated. And thank God I got to say that before she left this earth. So anyway, yeah. So that's where I am with generational curses.
For me, outside of prayer and devotional and relationship with God, for the children, teaching them that part to break the curse, we got practical, we got real. We had some conversations. For us, there's a lot of babies that happen before me with unwed moms. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're not doing that. I got real with Elijah and with the boys. Boys will be boys. But we talked about soul ties. Yeah. We talked about how
it's beautiful.
Sex is the marriage and not just the ceremony. So every time you give yourself,
wow,
you're marrying that person. You're taking some of their stuff. They're taking some of yours. If you keep giving out, what do you have to give when it comes down to it? Those soul ties can only be broken by God. You don't want somebody's mess. You wake up and you in the store stealing, and you don't know why you're stealing. You done took on somebody's tie, and you can't get rid of it. You don't even know why you're doing it. That could lead to drugs. That could lead to anything.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful. It's kind of like we got a piece of cake up here, and I'm going to give everybody a piece. And when that special someone comes, what do I give them? Mm-hmm. The cake is gone. The cake is gone. So the practical part of it, we went to the doctor. We had some conversations. What can we do to make sure this doesn't happen?
Yeah.
And then she had a decision to make. The other part of that is when my mom was pregnant with me, she had cancer. When I was pregnant with Elijah, I had cancer. So as medicine has continued to learn more, there were shots that they could give to help combat that, the HPV shots, to try to make sure she doesn't have to go through cancer when she gets pregnant, if she decides to, later on. So I think a lot of times we just gotta be honest.
Yeah.
And even tell them, how did it make you feel? I had ties when I was 19. That was early. That was by myself. We weren't in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot that I had to deal with. So I was just open and honest with her, and I hope that will teach her. The more she knows, the better the decision she can make.
A generational curse, and you heard me say this in a message a few weeks ago, that I chose to break when I was like 13 years old in my bedroom. I had had a lot of death spoken over me. You're not worth anything. You're lazy. You're this, you're that. And as tears were rolling down my face, because I got sent to my room, I made a vow to the Lord that I'm never going to speak death over my kids. I'm going to speak life. I'm going to let them know they are loved. I'm going to stand in the gap. Nothing you do is ever too hard, too bad. I'm going to love you just where you're at. And I know that I know that I know. All four of my boys know that I love them. The Bible talks about laying down your life for a friend in the book of John. When we sign up, moms and dads, when we say, I want to be a parent, at the end of the day, you have to lay down your life for your kids. And it comes at every cost, at every sacrifice. There are times that you might have to do without new clothes. There may be times that you're not eating out because you have this gift that you get to raise. So as they take their seats and they begin to clear the stage, I just want them to dim the lights.
And if you're a mom here today, and you thought, or you think what Renee thought, that she's not a good mom, this altar call is for you. If you're a mom and you keep beating yourself up because you don't think you're good enough, this altar call is for you. If you're a mom with a desire to make a change and leave a legacy that lasts not just for while your kids are here on the earth and you're here on the earth, but the Bible says that it goes generation after generation. It's blessings. Today, I want there to be an exchange. I'm giving you, Jesus, all that I feel like I'm not worthy of as a mom. And I want to receive from you everything that you say that I am. We're better together, mamas. We need each other. We need the wisdom of the older generation. An older generation, we need the younger moms to give us a change in the way that we think about motherhood. I believe that today there is going to be a healing in moms' hearts. That's why the Lord said, we need to hear from several moms. So as we begin to sing this song, I'm just going to ask you to spend a couple moments reflecting with the Lord. Let Him speak over you what He wants for you as you're a mom. Let Him challenge you. Let Him encourage you. And if you want prayer, we're going to have somebody on the right. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You have got two mamas and grandmamas up here that have so much wisdom. Let's tap into it today.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.